Welcome to New York.
This is the Devil's State of Mind podcast, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. Now here's your host, Neil Villapiano.
What is going on, Devils fans? It's been a minute, but it is, as always, your host, your best friend, your confidant, your number one source, Neil Villapiano, and welcome to another edition of the Devil's State of Mind podcast right here on the Hockey Podcast Network, as well as Sports Wire Radio, the best place to get everything you need to know about your New Jersey Devils. And as always, guys, I hope you are having a fantastic day wherever you are listening to this podcast episode. It is a beautiful day here in New Jersey, so definitely a good opportunity to kind of have a little bit more of an upbeat episode. I know, obviously, with the way the season has been, and even over this weekend, how, you know, conflicting the feelings were during the weekend. Nonetheless, there's still a lot of positives to talk about, even at this point in the season. And thank you guys, as always, for taking time out of your day to check these episodes out. Really, really do appreciate it. Just want to shout out quickly, I met several people at the Devils game on Saturday against the Ottawa Senators with my girlfriend. And I had a chance to meet several people who are listeners of the podcast, fans of the Instagram page, follow me on Twitter as well. And I just want to say thank you so much for all of you who came up to me, who interacted with me, even if it was for a minute or two. I really do appreciate it, because you guys are the reason that I continue to do this and why I care so much about putting out a great product for you guys on a week-to-week basis. And I know that throughout the year, it's been very inconsistent on my end, but, you know, things outside of, you know, the podcasting, writing, you know, broadcasting world are, you know, a little bit tougher on my end, but I still try to do my very best, regardless of the situation, to give you guys as much good content as I can. So as always, thank you guys for taking time out of your day to listen to this episode, like I mentioned before, and also just your overall support. And I always say this, guys, do not be afraid to come up and say hi. Even if you feel shy, just come up, say hi. I would love to talk with you guys. I love to meet people who are listeners of the podcast. It means a lot to me. I appreciate the support tremendously. So really, again, thank you guys so much for all of your support. And also, a big shout out to all of our sponsors here for the Devil's State of Mind podcast. You got DraftKings, obviously, with March Madness going on right now. You got Major League Baseball starting up this upcoming week. The NBA and NHL playoffs are right around the corner. And you got so much. This is the best time of the year if you are a sports fan. And make sure you use the official sports betting partner of THPN, DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up with our promo code THPN. Bet $5, get $200 instantly in risk-free bets. That is an offer you do not want to miss out on. And it is a great place to get in on all the huge cash prizes. So shout out to DraftKings Sportsbook. SeatGeek, use my promo code DevilStateOfMind to get $20 off your first purchase of $50 or more of any sporting or concert event of your choosing. It is a great place to get the best deals out there for any event of your choosing. So again, use promo code DevilStateOfMind, get $20 off your first purchase of $50 or more. And shout out to Horsetail Napa Valley, the official wine club of the New Jersey Devil and wine sponsor of the Devil's State of Mind podcast. And use my promo code DevilState to get 10% off all of your orders. They have some great tasting wines with Devils themed bottles. Very, very cool. It is the perfect gift for the Devils fans in your life. So again, go to Horns and Tail Napa Valley, and at checkout, use my promo code DevilState to get 10% off all of your orders. So as always, you already know, shout out to all of our sponsors here of the Devil's State of Mind podcast. So now let's jump into today's episode. So the way this is going to work today is we're going to recap the weekend, both games between the Senators and Islanders, respectfully. Then we're going to look into the weekend, just kind of look in general here as we are now down to the final 10 games of the regular season. It is crazy that we are at this point. And it's even crazier to think about how the Devils could still very well continue their season beyond this regular season if things go their way. And we'll talk about how they could potentially get to that. And we're also going to talk about Timo Meier, because as you can see by the title of this episode, it's not only March Madness, it's Meier Madness, as Timo Meier has been absolutely red hot the past couple of weeks. Might be the hottest player in the NHL right now. This is the Timo Meier of all that we all expected when the Devils acquired him at the deadline last year. And lastly, I want to kind of look over a recent article that was posted literally today, March 25th, 2024, from Pierre LeBrun of The Athletic, as he sat down and had a one-on-one discussion with Tom Fitzgerald about the overall look of the team this season, you know, where things went wrong, where things have gone wrong, and a little bit of an outlook as to what this offseason might entail. And I know that most of it won't be a surprise, but I want to still get my thoughts in there, and would obviously love to hear your thoughts as well. So, as always, guys, we have a bunch to get to here in the Devil's State of Mind podcast, so let's not waste any more time and get rolling. And we'll get rolling and drop the puck with, you know, again, we're going to start by recapping the weekend that just happened. Yet another back-to-back. I believe the Devils have two more after for the rest of this season. So, you know, it's good to know that the back-to-backs are coming to an end in what's been a very, very difficult year for the Devils in terms of winning those games. Not just winning both games of the back-to-back, but especially winning that second game of the back-to-back. But we'll start with the game on Saturday night against the Ottawa Senators here. And so the Devils were looking for their third straight win after a big emotional win over the Winnipeg Jets, winning 4-1 against former Devils Tyler Toffoli and Colin Miller. They were also looking to finish a perfect 3-0 on the homestand, as they had really been dominant through the first two games against Pittsburgh and then Winnipeg. And with the Red Wings losing earlier in the day in regulation, a win would move the Devils to within 4 points of the second wildcard spot. So once again, another massive, massive opportunity for the New Jersey Devils to get themselves that much closer to a playoff spot, get themselves to a three-game winning streak heading in to the Sunday matinee game or Saturday midday game against the New York Islanders. Simply put, everything that went right against Winnipeg went completely wrong against the Ottawa Senators, as it started with giving up a shorthanded goal. That was obviously a very bad start. Not what you wanted to see at all. And the Devils did respond in the second period. Within the first minute of the second period, took a 2-1 lead. First, a breakaway goal from Jesper Bratt, and then a nice feed to Tomasz Nosek, who tapped it in, who, by the way, Tomasz Nosek actually playing pretty well over the last couple of games or so, kind of starting back with the game against the Dallas Stars the week before, and then moving into this last week as well. But then the Devils, after going up 2-1, completely collapsed as they proceeded to give up four unanswered goals between the second and third periods and dropped this one, another disappointing loss and frustrating loss to a bottom feeder team, losing 5-2 to the Ottawa Senators in this one. The Devils were 0-4 on the power play. They went into this game against Ottawa 5-7 on the power play in their last two combined games. And it wasn't fully on Jake Allen, but he was due for a bad game. He played the entirety of this one and ended up conceding 5 goals through those three periods. And I knew at some point it was going to happen. I was a little bit surprised that the Devils didn't go with Jake Kaapo Kähkönen in this one, with it being a quote-unquote lesser team than obviously going up against the Islanders on Sunday. But it ended up not working out, and the Devils really, once again, have nobody to blame but themselves. This was a really, really annoying loss. It really was. And it just adds yet another chapter to what has been an overall frustrating season for this team. Just kicking away two more points against a bad team with a chance to get more on a winning streak, get that momentum, and go into the game against the Islanders with a chance to jump them in the standings if you get the win. And they didn't do that. And so they end up with another really frustrating loss at home to a bad Senators team who's not really trying to win right now. It was an opportunity to really grab some momentum. And again, the Devils just kicked it away. So again, the Devils dropped that one 5-2 on Saturday night at home to the Ottawa Senators. And that shifts us to the other game of the weekend as the Devils, less than 24 hours later, were once again back on the ice, this time on the island against the New York Islanders. And this was a really, again, it goes without saying that every game at this point in the year, as long as the Devils continue to be in the hunt to potentially make the playoffs, is an important game. But what makes it a little bit more important is the fact that the Islanders are ahead of the Devils right now in the standings and are also fighting for that second wild card spot. So this was a big opportunity to grab 2 points on the road and continue your success against the Islanders. Devils were coming in 2-0 already this year against the Islanders. The Devils will play them one more time. Last game of the season, April 14th, I believe, is going to be the last game of the year. It's a Monday night. And it will be interesting to see between now and that game where both teams stand when it's all said and done. By that time, I think we'll have a pretty good idea where everything goes. But I did not know what type of team we were going to get because this season has been very much Jekyll and Hyde. 1 minute they look great, the next minute they look awful. So again, you kind of go into every game at this point not knowing what type of team you're going to see. So the Devils were clearly looking for a bounce back win today. If they did win the game, they would move to within 1 point of the Islanders in the wild card standings. And with the Capitals winning earlier in the day, right now the Devils are chasing the Washington Capitals for that second wild card spot. They jumped past the Detroit Red Wings. And if they win the game in regulation, the Devils, they would move to within 5 points of the second wild card spot. So still an opportunity, not the best case scenario, but still an opportunity to get to within 1 point closer of that final wild card standings. And the Devils, you know, they had some milestones going into this one. Jack Hughes playing in his 300th career game and Alexander Holtz playing in his 100th career game. So overall, it was going to be, you know, the hope was it was going to be a good special win for this team. Kaapo Kähkönen got the start. He came into the game with a lot of recent success, not just this year, but even a little bit at the end of last year against the New York Islanders. So for Travis Green, I think he just looked at it as an opportunity for Kaapo Kähkönen to play, but also a chance to continue his success against the New York Islanders. And from the start, you look at that first period, the Islanders came out with a mission that they wanted to get that first goal, get the momentum on their side, coming off a big win themselves against the Winnipeg Jets the following night. So both teams were on the second of a back-to-back. But Kaapo Kähkönen did a really, really, really good job of locking it down, making all 13 saves that he had to make in that first period. And the Devils would come out in that second period with a lot more energy. I think the confidence from Kaapo Kähkönen getting it going was really, really, really important. And so the Devils would obviously break through first. Timo Meier would continue his hot streak, scoring on a 5-on-3 power play. Beautiful feed from Jack Hughes to Timo Meier, who's right on the doorstep there for the goal. And then a few minutes later, after Jack Hughes was able to get three different Islander players to collide with one another, created a 2-on-1, and without hesitation, he rifled one under the arm of Ilya Sorokin into the net to give the Devils a 2-0 lead. And then later on in the period, Nemitz with a really, really good job in the right corner in the offensive zone, fighting along, earning that puck, and then making a beautiful saucer feed to his teammate and his buddy from Utica, Alexander Holtz, for the goal. That made it 3-0 Devils, and that's where things were after 40 minutes of play. And what was great is that both Jack Hughes, playing in his 300th career game, and Alexander Holtz, playing in his 100th career game, each got a goal in this one. And the only thing that really through the first 40 minutes was a concern was obviously the hit from Anders Lee knee-on-knee on Nico Hischier. Hischier was slow to get up. He did not return for the rest of that second period, but did come out and played the rest of that game. So he seems to be okay. But what was really great about that whole situation was the fact that Timo Meier, his fellow countryman and teammate, came in and immediately dropped the gloves with Anders Lee, fought him, didn't win the fight, but the message was made that Timo Meier was going to step up for his teammate. And that's something that is so invaluable about Timo Meier. Not just the fact that he's scoring and playing well, but he's a big body guy who wants to be physical and will stand up for his teammates. And I wish this Devils team had more guys like Timo Meier in that respect. And it was just great that he did that. And Timo ended up getting a 2-minute penalty, 5-minute, and a 10-minute for that whole situation. Anders Lee was thrown out and did not return for the rest of that one. Timo Meier did not come back onto the ice until with about 6 minutes to go in the game. He proceeded to take another penalty at the end of the period. So he spent a lot of the third period sitting in the penalty box, which was very funny. Again, he sure would return and play the rest of the game, so that was good. Devils, I felt, really locked it down in the third period. Didn't allow the Islanders to get too much going. Chris Tierney, a.k.a. the Cobra, would add an empty net goal, his third goal of the year. And that cemented a 4-0 win for the Devils. A really good bounce back win after the embarrassing loss to the Senators the night before. And what's also interesting is that this was the first shutout of the season for the Devils. Going into this game, they were the only team in the NHL who had yet to record a shutout. And I think that kind of shows you just how tough the goaltending has been all year long. But Kaapo Kähkönen gets the Devils' first shutout of the year. He also gets his first win as a Devil as he stops all 36 shots that he faced against the Islanders. Really, really great performance from Kaapo Kähkönen. Made a couple of really great highlight reel saves that ultimately earned him the win and the shutout. Timo Meier actually got a Gordie Howe hat trick after getting into that scrap with Anders Lee defending Nico. This is the first Devils Gordie Howe hat trick, which is a goal, an assist, and a fight, since 2016 when Sergei Kalinin, in a game against the New York Rangers, I believe he fought Kevin Shattenkirk in that game, recorded. So it was the first time in little less than a decade that a Devils player earned a Gordie Howe hat trick. So it was once again another night for Timo Meier and a big win overall for the Devils as they finish what was overall a really strong week for the team, going 3-1-0 in that span. You obviously would have loved to have gotten those 2 points against Ottawa. Again, you're kicking away, you know, very winnable games, but that's been the Devils' season overall this year. But I think it was good for the team to get the chance to bounce back less than 24 hours after that game and play a really, really good game overall, kind of dominated throughout the majority of it, and get 2 big points against the team that you're chasing. And those are very, very valuable points. So the Devils move to within 1 point of the Islanders in the wild card standings. So hopefully in the next couple of days, they can jump in front of them and continue to climb. Devils now, at the time of this recording, are now 5 points behind the Washington Capitals for that second wild card spot, although, unfortunately, the Capitals have 2 games in hand. So the Devils really don't have a lot going for them outside of their own control. That's kind of the tough part with it all, is that, you know, they've kind of blown the opportunities with games at hand to jump up in the standings, and now they're kind of in a situation where there's some teams ahead of them that have games in hand on them. So they have to kind of hope that those teams just drop those games, don't get points, and give the Devils continue to give the Devils a chance to get into that second wild card spot. But good win to bounce back, and a good win to kind of cap off, which is an overall pretty successful week for the Devils as they've won 3 of their last 4 since that road trip they had 2 weeks ago, and now they have a lot quieter, I would say. I think maybe that's the word. A lot quieter week ahead. They only have 2 games and none on the weekend. So when you look at the Devils going in right now, 35, 33, and 4, 74 points. As I mentioned before, 5 points back of the Washington Capitals for that second wild card spot. And I saw this morning from Greg Wyshynski. He tweeted it out. Per Stathletes, the Devils currently have an 8.9% chance to make the playoffs. So it's like that scene from Dumb and Dumber. So you mean to tell me that there's a chance? And yes, I just want to say that I understand why many Devils fans are basically saying the season's over. There's no chance we're going to make the playoffs. And you very well could be right. But for me, I'm going to continue to act like the Devils can make the playoffs until they're mathematically out of it. That's the way that I look at it. That's how I continue to watch this team and cover it, because that's how I feel. Until this team is mathematically out of it, they're not out of it. They still have a chance, albeit a very, very minor chance. And it's really funny, even at this point with 10 games to go, that they're still in it. But still a chance. And anything can happen. And as they say on the MSG broadcast, anything can happen in Jersey, right? And the Panthers, you know, just last year made that miracle run at the end of the year to get into the playoffs and eventually went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. Not saying that's going to happen with the Devils, but just something to kind of prove that it can be done. It requires the Devils to play their best brand of hockey all year, but also to get help from the outside. And the Devils can only control 50% of that. So we'll see. But the two games coming up this week, their first matchup of the year against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Three of the final 10 games will be three matchups against the Leafs. And it starts with the one on Tuesday night in Toronto. And then the Devils will have 2 days off before they play their last game of this week in Buffalo against the Sabres. The Sabres are trying to climb over the Devils into getting closer to a playoff spot. So the Devils, the best that they can do right now in terms of when you look at the overall points is that the Devils, right, you know, they look at it and say, you would love to hope that they end up with 78 points by the end of the week. And maybe they make some big moves in terms of the standings and getting closer. Maybe they don't move at all. Who knows? So we'll see what happens by the end of this week. But again, good solid end to the week, and we'll see what the Devils can do in terms of building upon that this upcoming week here. So the second last thing I wanted to talk about is we have to talk about the man that is Timo Meier, who without question is playing the best brand of hockey we have seen him play since he was brought to New Jersey at last year's trade deadline. It is without question Meier madness right now. Timo Meier had 10 goals through the first 43 games of the season, 56 games overall for the Devils. He missed time twice with injuries. He has 13 goals over his last 16 games and is at 23 on the year with 10 games to go in the season. And if he continues this hot play, he very well could potentially reach 30 goals with less than 60 games played overall, which I think would be very remarkable. I think more realistically, I could see him reaching between 25 and 28 goals on the year, but you never know. Maybe he's got another hat trick or two in him that could really, really jolt him up to a 30-goal year. And I think if the Devils could finish with a 30-goal scorer or two, if their offense really, really starts to get going here in these last 10 games, I think that would be a minor win in itself considering the year that it's been. Also, just combined in the last 16 games played, Timo Meier has a stat line of 13 goals, 8 assists for 21 points, and he currently leads the NHL in goals since March 12th. And what's crazy to think about is the fact that also since Lindy Ruff was fired as head coach of the Devils, Timo Meier has really, really played well. Now, I do want to say that it's not completely correct in the sense that Timo Meier was starting to heat up and play well at this level right before Lindy Ruff got fired. So I understand it, but it's funny to think about just the fact that he's really taken it to another level when it comes, you know, ever since Lindy Ruff was removed. Do I think that played a part in it? Maybe a little bit, maybe it was more than that. Who knows? But overall, Timo Meier has been tremendous, and this is the Timo Meier that I saw for many years playing with the San Jose Sharks in the regular season, in the playoffs, a guy who can get you 25 to 30 goals a year, who's a big body dude, who'll throw his body around, make hits, stand up for his teammates. He is the definition of a power forward, and even if the Devils don't make the playoffs, he is going to end up being one of the bright spots when we look back at this year of just him individually having a great end to the regular season. And it's something that he can really build upon going into the offseason and preparing for next year and just give the Devils that confidence that they made the right choice in keeping him long term. So I think overall, just a really, really good job you know, by Timo Meier, who's been absolutely on fire. And again, it truly is Meier madness right now. And, you know, as always, let me know what you guys think of Timo's performance so far and everything like that here on YouTube. You know, leave it in the comment section. Or if you're just having to listen to this on the audio version, just, you know, tweet at me at Devil State or on Instagram at Devil State of Mind. Love, love, love interacting with you guys about all the topics that we bring here for you guys. And so last but certainly not least, I wanted to kind of give my thoughts on the recent article that was posted on Monday, March 25th, 2024, via The Athletic. It was from Pierre Lebrun, who also is, you know, covers the NHL for TSN, but writes for The Athletic. He had a chance last week when they had the NHL's GM meetings in Florida. He had a chance to sit down and talk a little bit with Devils general manager Tom Fitzgerald. And there were a couple of things that came out of that. Number one, I think just in general, Fitzgerald said a lot of the things that we have been talking about all year that even he has said before, because quite frankly, what is there to change? Like in terms of just of what he said, like there's not, like he's been consistent in how he's felt. I think what was interesting at the start of the article, he talks about a big issue or a big reason for the Devils' struggles this year was the fact of how much inexperience and youth the Devils had on the back end with playing guys like Luke Hughes and Simo Nemitz as much as they played. Now, I agree that it is part of the problem. I think the Devils, I think Fitzgerald should have added at least maybe one or two other veteran defensemen to kind of balance out the back end, be a little bit more physical, better at blocking shots, and not relying on these young defensemen, inexperienced defensemen, to play these heavy minutes. Now, Fitzgerald also said it's a positive thing because it gives them a chance to move two steps forward next year, and these guys getting really, really good experience and a lot to build upon going into their second full seasons next year. And I expect both Luke Hughes and Nemitz to be on the roster next year. Nemitz, maybe he gets sent out. I don't know. I doubt it at this point with how much he's played and everything like that. But certainly, I still think you have to add some veteran, physical, shot-blocking type defenseman or two to the back end as well to help these young guys overall, just not putting so much on their plate. So that was kind of the first thing I saw. The second thing I saw was that clearly Tom Fitzgerald, as obvious as this is going to be in the market for a goaltender. He promised more or less to Jake Allen that he wants to pair Jake Allen with a, you know, a top flight goaltender and make a really, really good duo. And that was a big reason why Jake Allen wanted, eventually waived his no trade clause to come to New Jersey. So that was another thing. And the last thing was basically without saying it, Tom Fitzgerald kind of called the Devils team soft, that he wanted to get this team to be bigger, to be more physical, and to be more balanced. And Pierre Lebrun made a really, really good example of looking at the Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers 2 years ago were a very, very offensive-minded team who had solid goaltending, but not enough support to help Bobrovsky fully. And so what happened? Yeah, they made the playoffs, but they got curb stomped by the Tampa Bay Lightning. So what did Bill Zito do? Well, he started to get this team to be more balanced. He took away some of the scoring to add more physical defensive shot blocking on the back end to support the goaltender. And then he got a really, really good head coach as well. And I think overall, when you look at that team from top to bottom, it is the most balanced roster in the NHL, not just from an offensive, defensive, and goaltending perspective, but overall coaching and style of play. So what does that lead me to believe? That leads me to not believe, but to this is how I truly feel. I understand why the Devils last year, with their play being mostly on the rush, being an offensive attacking team, the Devils played well to their style of play. It worked and everything was fine. And maybe switching it up completely going into next year is a bad move. The thing I look at is that you need to have a balance of everything. You need to have a balance of scoring guys. You need to have a balance of depth. You need to have a balance of solid defensemen who can do a little bit of everything. And then you need to have the goaltending, but you need to have the coaching as well. The Devils are not structurally balanced right now. They're just not. That's the reality of it right now. They have the offense clearly, but I don't think they have enough depth scoring. I think that needs to be something to take a look at. But also, they need to get bigger. They need to be a team that can withstand other teams throwing their body at them, because that's one of the things that teams look at when they prepare to play the Devils, to be physical, to hit them, to hurt them, because that'll slow them down. And it's worked. Let's call it like it is. It has worked. So in my opinion, the Devils do need to get more physical. They don't have to go crazy. They just have to balance everything out. Then you have to focus on the defensive side and focus on not just being really, really good offensively on the back end, but also be able to be responsible in your own end, block shots, you know, throw your body when you have to, you know, intimidate some guys a little bit. Averaging giving up 30 to 35 shots a game is not conducive to winning. And if you look at the last handful of Stanley Cup winners, they've all been balanced rosters. And then you have the goaltending, and that needs to be addressed. This is obvious. I think you've addressed part of it with Jake Allen for sure, but you need to add that top flight goaltender. You need to, whether it's Markstrom or Gibson or Saros or whomever, you have to. You have to establish it. You have to get it. And then you have to hit a home run with the coach. And it can't be some college dude. It can't be somebody who's never been a head coach before. You need a veteran championship leader of a head coach who's going to demand accountability from these guys to play the system to a T and do what is necessary on both ends to win games, not just in the regular season, but once you get in the playoffs, where every single round you're facing a different animal. The Devils played a Ranger team in the first round that was a lot more based trying to, you know, do a lot of offense. And yeah, they tried to out-hit the Devils for sure, but the Devils did a good job of not allowing it to throw them off. And once they got their offense going and got the confidence on the back end from Akira Schmid, they went off and the Rangers offense dried up and that was the end of it. The Devils were not prepared for that next round against Carolina, where Carolina was even more physical and maybe not as much offensively talented, but they got some timely goal scoring. The goaltending was there when it needed to be. They were a more balanced team and overall they were better than the New Jersey Devils. Did it work out long, you know, for the rest of the playoffs for the Hurricanes? No, because they faced an even more balanced team in the Florida Panthers. Now you look at the Panthers this year, super balanced. I don't really see a fault in them right now. They look to me as one of, if not the favorite coming out of the Eastern Conference to win the Stanley Cup. This is a team that has proved that last year was not a fluke, that this is who the Florida Panthers are. They play their system really well, a balanced system. And that's where the Devils need to focus on. They need to have a team that could do a little bit of everything. That when you look at them on paper, can do a little bit of everything. But when they're also on the ice, can do a little bit of everything. So that's what I want to see. I want to see a more balanced team. So that's probably the biggest thing that I took away from that whole article there. And, you know, I posted it on my Twitter and Instagram stories as well on Devil State and Devil State of Mind. So you guys can go check it out if you're able to. If you have a subscription, I'm sure. If not, I'm sure somebody can, you know, give you an opportunity. I might put the article in the description down here on YouTube as well for you guys to check out. But I want you guys to, if you can, to read it and understand where I'm coming from in terms of having a balanced team. So that's really, really what I wanted to kind of harp on here when I read that article and how I overall feel about what Tom Fitzgerald said. So again, with that and everything else, you know, as always, just let me know what you guys think about the team and where do you think we're going to go from here. So overall, guys, it's going to be really interesting to see how this team goes down the stretch here. Going to continue to, you know, hope for the best, hope they continue to find ways to win and continue to create some bright spots here towards the end of this season. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. And right now, guys, is the perfect time to jump in on DraftKings. We are down to the final stretch of games here in the NHL with still many playoff implications going on. And there's so many different games and also in-game opportunities like who will score the first goal? What will the final score be? Different things like that, the over and under. There's so many different opportunities. And all you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use our promo code THPN, and you have to bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Just $5. That's it. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, you call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 160 hours after issuance. See DraftKings.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsibly gambling resources. And the NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.